promised. Wendell Quisenberry is here, administrator of our Tomahawk School District. Good morning, Wendell.
Good morning, Jeff.
Zach hasn't been here this week, so he wasn't at the school board meeting. So let's just start right there. I've got a lot of notes to talk about here this morning, but the school board notes from the last school board meeting, maybe bring us up today a little bit what happened there, because there was some really good news there, too.
Yeah, well, starting out, we had a pretty light agenda this time around. December typically can bring that, but we had a couple of big reports. Our Director of Teaching and Learning, Mark Schomer, went through the presentation for our recent state report card. All numbers look great. Achievement looked great. Our growth scores looked great. We're trending upward, which is what we like to see. We're in that exceeds expectations category. And, you know, our board has been... One of the things they always say to us is, it's fantastic, you're in exceeds expectations, but we want to know how you're going to get to significantly exceeds, right?
Okay.
How are you going to get to the next level? So that brings us into our strategic planning. And each year we utilize our academic data, our behavior data, and we have our five pillars that we build our strategic plan around. So we closed out that scorecard as well, and it's kind of weird that the timeline of that works the way that it does, but the last component of our strategic planning scorecard is the data from the forward exam.
Okay.
And that school, that state report card. And oddly enough, the way the DPI does things is we test in April, and we don't know the results until October of the following year. So it makes it very difficult for us to do anything in the moment with those numbers, and that's why we rely on a lot of the what we call interim assessments or screeners that we do internally with our students to measure academic progress.
Totally understand that. When it comes to report cards, it's been a long time since I've got a report card, Wendell. But I remember back when I was in school, it seemed to me there are a couple different kinds of, there's a lot of different kinds of kids, but when it comes to report cards, there are the kids who are sure what their grades are going to be, no problem. There are kids that are also sure what their grades are going to be, and they're going to be worried to show that to their parents. Then there are some kids right in the middle who aren't quite sure what the report card is going to be for a lot of different reasons. Tomahawk School District, did you guys know where you were going to be? Did you have a good feeling as to where you're going to be?
Yeah, we always do. And again, it's one snapshot on one test in the spring of the year that really gets promoted as carrying a lot of weight.
Okay.
To us, it doesn't.
Okay, really?
It's good to see that our kids are performing, but what carries more weight with us are the internal measures that we put in place. We're monitoring where our students are in relation to state and national norms constantly. And this was a trend that started, I would say, probably going on 10 years ago now, and not an overly popular one. I don't think anybody thinks that you're going to make students smarter by testing them more. But for us, it's not about it's about looking at that group and where they're at, and are the things that we're doing providing the results that we want to see. So we kind of know where our students are going into each year.
How else do you know where how else do you know where the kids are hitting their milestones or not without the testing?
Well, that's one measure, but we also have, like you said, we have, you know, our teachers in their classroom performance and monitoring their groups each and every year as well. So we have a number of different measures that we can use. The screener tests work. They do take time away from academics. Every hour that you spend in a test is an hour that you're not providing instruction. So we want to balance that so that we do get the measures we need to make decisions and the data that we need. But at the same time, our teachers need to have the freedom to do what
right.
they do best, yeah. and that's teach. So
interesting to learn that. Very interesting to learn that, because I kind of thought the same thing about report cards. Oh, big deal. It's just a snapshot in time, and mom and dad, they'll get over how upset they are by tomorrow or by the end of the weekend, and so good to go.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, so it's amazing how some things just kind of go together that way.
Yeah.
So good report card, so that's a good thing, but you know that it's still not the A-plus, so to speak, so there's still room for improvement. That's good.
It's good, but it's never good enough.
Got it. The one-act play was very successful here once again this season, wasn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
Let's talk about that a little bit.
10 actors in search of a cell phone. We had great turnout when they performed it for the public here. They went down to the state competition in late November and essentially won what the equivalent of a state championship. So they got the Critics' Choice, which is the highest recognition. They also were awarded Outstanding Ensemble and Outstanding Technical Awards. And the Director's Awards, both for Michelle and Corey, Michelle Balda and Corey Coburn, and the work that they did. So they mopped up. They did well, and they always do. We always have such great performances, both in the fall with the one-act play and in the spring with the musical and the children's play. And so they do some amazing work, and we have such a great group of kids year in and year out that showcase their talents through that program. So it's great to see.
You know, I can think of a couple of things. You know, some schools have reputations for being good at hockey. Some are the football programs in some schools, you just know they're going to do well. When it comes to Tomahawk, the drama department is going to excel, no doubt about it.
Yeah, and there's a lot of backing in our community, both for, you know, drama, for the arts, band and choir. So it's something that we're looking constantly to improve, to grow, and you mentioned hockey. There's another great recognition that we learned yesterday. So our hockey team is ranked number one in Division II. So that's first time in school history for that.
I didn't hear that. That's brand new news.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. So we're very proud of that and proud of that program, and they continue to improve on the things that they did last year. So
wow,
happy to see that.
Number one hockey team in Division II in the state of Wisconsin. That is something to really be proud of. Way to go, Hatchet hockey players. Christmas vacation time is coming right up, and sometimes hard to focus right before vacation time. Are the kids in school on Christmas Eve day, or are they're done the day before?
Done the day before. Got so it. It's one of those where Christmas falls in that middle of the week, so they'll go Monday and Tuesday, I believe, of that week. Anyway, they'll be out. The 23rd will be the last day, and then they're out that entire next week, and they come back on
January 5.
January 5.
Yep. That's a long vacation.
It's much needed, I think, for our students and, you know, and staff and community. It's nice to, hopefully we have some snow this year.
Yeah.
Some ice on the lakes. Everybody can get out and enjoy.
Kids can make a little money on the side in their jobs.
That's right.
And, yeah.
That's right.
So. Good thing. So Christmas vacation, they go to school on Monday the 23rd, then they're off till January 5.
Yep.
Correct. Got it. School board election dates of importance. Are we going to be turning over the school board again here soon?
Well, we have the new, this will be the first election cycle with that new reapportionment plan that is in place. So so this year we will have the city of Tomahawk will be an election that has an incumbent. King, the other apportionment area is King, Harrison, Nokomis, Wilson, and Little Rice townships. That has an incumbent. But there's one area that's new that has no candidates currently on the board. This will be the first election cycle for it, and that will be Bradley, Birch, Scanawan, Rock Falls, and the town of Tomahawk. So
that's one representative representing that whole area.
Well, there'll be three.
Okay.
But there will be an election then, because it's a 3-3-3. So every year, this is fully implemented over the next few election cycles. It'll take a while to get it in.
Yeah, that now it's
because
coming back to me.
Yeah. So then every year there will be an election cycle for each of the three areas. So this will be the first one for that area. And anybody that is interested in registering as a candidate for that has until January 7th at 5 p.m. To file your paperwork. You can come to the school and get more information on that. And then you'll appear on the ballot.
As the administrator, what makes a good election board representative, or I should say education board representative? Who is that job just made for? Who will work well with that position?
I don't think there's one set of personality trait or skill sets that make it. I think you need a variety of opinions. You need a variety of viewpoints. You need a variety of life experiences, because that's what a school is, right?
Right, yeah.
And so I think anybody that, to me, if you are interested in seeing our school succeed and you can define what success for a school is in your own mind, you're a good candidate for the board, and we can work with you.
And what do people do if they're interested in running for one of those seats?
So just contact the school at this point, and then there's some paperwork you'll fill out, and you will be on the ballot.
Good. I hope a bunch of good people show up and sign up.
Yeah, me too.
The referendum coming up here, that's always important to talk about and keep in front of folks. That is happening in the spring election, correct?
It's the February election.
February,
so
okay.
Be the primary election.
Got it.
And again, the reason I get a lot of questions, especially as I've been calling and trying to schedule some time with our local town boards to get at their town board meetings and explain to them some information for the referendum. The biggest question that I get is, why February? And so the biggest thing for us was,
because it's usually a low turnout election, right?
It is.
Yeah,
and getting people out to vote is going to be a challenge. So that's going to be something we're going to be very focused on. But for us, with all of the reassessment of our townships, We did not think it was a good idea to put a referendum question in front of people until they could see how their taxes were directly impacted by their towns and property values being reassessed.
That makes sense.
Those tax bills are available. Even if you haven't received your tax bill yet, you can go on the Lincoln County website or Oneida County website in some cases for our townships in Nokomis, and you can find your tax bill. I've been going out and just randomly looking, and you know, there's some taxes that were, you know, some taxes have gone way up, some have gone way down. Most of them have just fluctuated within a few dollars, maybe 50 bucks one way or the other.
Okay.
But there are some that had a big swing. So I encourage everybody, look at your tax bill, make the best decision for you, and however you determine what you think the role of the school should be in our community. But that money is definitely drastically needed to maintain the services that we currently provide.
Since a lot of the numbers stuff, the money stuff, is over a lot of people's heads, we like to hear like a bottom line thing. So if I own a $100,000 house, how is this going to affect my taxes?
So on average, and this is, I always like to throw on average because we look at the equalized value of our district as a whole, which is 11 townships.
Okay.
So on average, it's going to be about $5.59 per $1,000.
Okay. Per 100,000.
Yeah. No, per thousand.
Thousand. Okay. Per $5 per thousand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's easy way to figure that out.
Total tax. Yeah. That's not just the referendum. That's our total. So total school tax. And I always encourage people on your tax bill, look at the school tax. Okay, that's listed on the bottom, and it will go back, and you can look at it over the last 3 years at least, and you'll see that it has not fluctuated a lot. So we've worked with our levy, with where we are with our revenue limit, and in the last 2 years in particular, we've levied under our max authority in order to keep that number the same. And that's our plan moving forward to, that's the money that we feel we need to run our school. Even if we're granted the opportunity or the permission to take more, we know what we need, and we're not looking to expand without permission from our community. So that's a big number that we try to show people. We're trying to prove to you that we will be conscious of where you're at with taxes and keep that number as close to the same as possible.
And this is not anything for adding anything new, no bells and whistles, just to keep things going the way it's going right now.
It gives us a little wiggle room. It's the same amount that we've had, but because we've set ourselves up using ESSER funds the way that we did in other things, it does provide us a little room to invest in certain areas. Typically, when you make an investment in one, you're going to save money in another, so it breaks even. But there is some room for us to do the things we need to do to stay in front of the changing world that we live in and help kids get the best opportunity. Yeah. To find out more, though, we do have a website dedicated solely to the referendum. It will be the hub of where all of our information is kept. It's TomahawkReferendum2025.org. Or you can go right to our district tab on our website, and under the budget tab, you can click on it. There's a link to it.
Okay.
And there's an opportunity to submit questions and comments and that sort of thing right through that website as well.
So go to the school website. It's all right there.
There's also a really nice tool if you're reading your tax bill and you don't understand maybe how a calculation adds up, or you have a question about what the terminology means. There's a tool on there called How to Read My Tax Bill, and it breaks every section of that tax bill down into an explanation of either how it's calculated or what it means in total. So,
understood.
Great,
got it.
Great resource there, too.
The system for notification of school cancellation when the weather is bad. Wendell gets up, and he looks out the window. He calls the radio station, and the radio station says, no school today.
Yeah, right? Yeah, something like
that. That's about it, right?
Typically, I call Colleen Frisch, and
then
she handles the brunt of a lot of those phone calls. So she's up early, too. And so we'll work with the bus company typically, especially if it's ice, you know, and we'll be working with them. The bus company has a representative that drives up from Merrill. So we typically know what the lower part of the county looks like, and we'll make a judgment call on that. We usually try to do it early enough in the morning that families have a plan and can create alternative plans for childcare and that sort of thing. But we'll use our local media, we'll use our social media and our school app. And I also added a page in a couple of years ago that I will provide updates and times on there when the next update will come. So if we're uncertain of the weather, I'll send a notification out to our families and say at X and X time, you know, we will be providing an update on where we're at in the decision-making process.
Just out of curiosity, does law enforcement get involved? Do the sheriff's deputies that are out on patrol early in the morning say, you know what, maybe we better keep the kids home today?
Yeah, if I call them, that's a phone call that I typically make, too. If we're really on, wondering what road conditions are like, typically we know.
I got it.
You know, I live out in Harrison. I'll take a ride. If there's a foot and a half snow on the roads, that's not going to be good. So,
got it. Understood. So keep it tuned here to the Big Q. If not, check out the website and everything will be right there, too. Let's recognize some staff. I like seeing the staff recognition note on my note sheet here, Wendell. Let's blow some folks' horns here this morning.
You bet. And this is something we're going to I want to close out each time that we talk, Jeff, and give a shout out to our staff or a group of our staff. So every month we're going to incorporate this section into this. This month,
good.
We had three staff members actually recognized at the board meeting last night. Connor Ahrens, who is our business teacher. Allison Ewart, who is our family and consumer ed teacher. And Jarrett Flynn, who is our career and technical ed teacher. And all three of them, high school and middle school teachers. They all have what's called a CTO, a career technical organization, that they oversee as part of their teaching roles, too. So Allison, we've talked some about her in the past and some recognitions that she's received for her family, career, and community leaders, which is FCCLA. She heads up that group. Connor Ahrens has taken over as our business teacher mid-year last year, and he also runs our FBLA, which is Future Business Leaders of America. And Jarrett Flynn, coming in new this year, is taking over Hatchet Innovations. And all three of them collaborate on numerous projects, but they do some, through their organizations, they just have some amazing opportunities for students to apply the things that they've learned in the classroom to real-world applications. So an example of this recently was our venison feed. The students created a business plan. They created some merchandise. They had hats, can koozies, shirts, all with their designed logo on it. And then they went down there and they sold it and pretty much sold out. So,
really? Good.
Yeah. So Jarrett was talking about that last night. They, I think they made a profit of around $350. It's not about making huge profits. It's about, breaking even, making a little bit more money. But it's about the learning experience for the kids in how to run a business and how to design, market, and create product. So really great opportunity for them. And they do this. We have a student-run or led school store, which is we've had for a while, but it's continuing to grow. Our Hatchet Innovations team also does some school manufacturing type products as well. If there's a product you're looking for and it's something that the school can manufacture on a smaller scale, we certainly recommend anybody in the community. They've done some work for community organizations and businesses. Reach out, contact the high school office or contact one of the teachers if you know them directly. And that's something that can be turned over to the students to do. So great work on their part. These areas, we're always looking to expand these opportunities in these areas for students. And it's teachers like these that create these opportunities for kids. So we're so proud of them, so proud to have them as part of our organization, and proud of the kids who for the work that they do in those departments as well.
Going above and beyond. And if I was a teacher, I would draw back on some of my student experience. I appreciate the education I got as a kid, Wendell, but we were woefully unprepared for the real world when we graduated Fox Valley Lutheran back in 1983. We had no idea what the real world was like. We had no business background. You learn how to type, but that's about it.
Yeah, right.
All these other business courses and things where people are going to go into trades, we had none of that. It does my heart so good that we're not turning kids out into the world we're living in now without any of these skills, because we didn't have them. We had to learn and made a lot of mistakes.
Yep.
I would love to know the fact that the kids won't have to make some of the same mistakes people of my generation had to make just to learn.
Yeah, and we're so blessed to live in a community that recognizes the importance of these types of jobs as well, and we've had a lot of private donations over the years that allow us to purchase the equipment that we need to keep these programs viable. Mm-hmm. And it's cutting edge stuff. The kids are learning to use the same resources and sometimes newer types of equipment than what businesses even have. So we dedicate a good portion of our budget to it, but we've had some really, really large donations in the past that have led to us being able to purchase some of the equipment we need. So it's something we're definitely looking to expand, as most schools throughout the our state, I would say, as a whole.
Yeah.
This is definitely a growing area in the world of education. So,
just out of curiosity, and you can choose to say no comment if you want, but there's a lot of talk at the federal level about getting rid of the federal level of the Department of Education, just putting it all back to the states. As a guy who runs a school district, what do you think of that idea?
Personally, I look at our connection with the federal level, and it's relatively minimal. We have some title funding and some other things. I think I would be more concerned about how that's going to impact our state Department of Education, how the flow through the money flows from federal to state and then is allocated to individual schools. As long as the funding continues and the work is there,
that's
really
what it's really
don't care
all about,
which
right?
department is handling that workload. So
got it. Just curious, Wendell, thank you very much for your honesty here this morning, your openness, and again, congratulations to Allison, to Connor, and to Jarrett. Those folks going to be recognized here on the radio, and hopefully they're going to get a bunch of pats on the back all day long.
They should. They deserve it. You
absolutely
betcha.
So that's a great way to end our conversation here today. Wendell, we'll see you again next month, and Merry Christmas.
Hey, Merry Christmas to you. Thanks for the opportunity. I always appreciate it.